The Feast of Tabernacles is a holy convocation, an assembly commanded by God, and you are obeying that. You're here because it's been commanded. And each year in the various sites around the world, we come together as the called and set apart children of God. And I'm going to talk about our being God's children tonight. We've been begotten through the process of repentance and baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit. But if the fact that we're just baptized and so on was all there was to it and didn't have more, it wouldn't amount to a great deal, I guess. But our hope is to become the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And therefore, the word brethren takes on a much, much greater meaning, because it deals with the fact that God is building a family. And every year he calls us together on the holy days to focus on some aspect of that family building process. And as we come together here tonight, it's very important that we recognize that we're not only here just to rejoice and to look at our blessings and really have a good time. We're here to look at the purpose of that family that God is building, to understand what it's all about. How many of you have seen the movie Pay It Forward? Any of you seen that? Good. At the end of the sermon tonight, I'll talk a little bit about that. It's about a boy, a young boy, that had a hard life. His mother lived alone, and he had some hardships. And in all of these things, he developed a philosophy that when something good happened to him, he would pay it forward. That's what we're called to be. We are little children. We're growing up, and we've been called to take what we have and pay it forward. So let's begin in Matthew 18, verse 3. Matthew 18 and verse 3. Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted," that is, you're transformed in what you are, "and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." So as we look at our lives, and we look at the Feast of Tabernacles, we want to start out with the idea that we are God's kids. And we are God's family. But we're here in training. We're here training to pay forward something that is so very, very important to humanity. And we want to understand that. This festival is about those who are now being transformed in heart and character, offering the same level of transformation to other human beings on earth. It's interesting that what we do goes much further than what we can see. When we preach the gospel, it goes out on television, it goes to the world. There are people who hear us, hear what our message is. It goes to a certain group of people who never really write to us, call us, or say anything. But I remember I was a part of the early baptizing tours, and we would go out and meet people who had listened to Herbert Armstrong for 20 years and never written in. 20 years or maybe more. And then finally, one day they sat down and wrote a letter in and said, "You know, I've been listening to you a long time. And could you send somebody out to baptize us?" And I imagine those were a fraction of the audience, because we know how big that audience was. We have no idea how much what has happened over the decades since Herbert Armstrong started preaching the gospel, and that we've continued doing it. We have no idea how many hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions of people, that we've impacted. Some of them have died. They'll be in the resurrection after the millennium. Some may come up in the millennium. I may go over into the millennium. But we are God's kids, and we are here to honor Him, to bring Him honor and respect, and we have a great deal of responsibility in the way we do it. We're also here for training. We've come here tonight to resume our training. There is no time in the year that there is a more concentrated period of training than at the Feast of Tabernacles. We're here for 8 days. We're together. We're interacting. We're learning to work together. It's a very, very important time. And so as we look at those things, we need to look at some scriptures, I think, dealing with children. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 13. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." And in other scriptures, he begins to develop this. He goes on and says, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." That puts our gathering together as God's sons and daughters in a very important light. This festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, is about accomplishing by God's family of humble little children a great deal that's going to have to do with setting up the kingdom of God. And we have there are other scriptures that are very, very related to this we'll get to. Jesus personally emphasized the importance of a childlike humility. That if we're going to succeed, at the bottom line of our success is to be humble like a little child. And it's a major component of the character that we must develop in order to be like what Jesus Christ is. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 3, 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, we also have the discussion of our relationship to God as children. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God." If you've been baptized, if you've come to repentance and been baptized, you are God's son or daughter. Now, that puts a lot of responsibility on us. And so as we assemble at this Feast of Tabernacles and begin these joyous days, it's not just about having fun. It's about how to become better sons and daughters of our Father in heaven and a better brother or sister of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul here is speaking of equipping the saints, in Ephesians. I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, let's go down to Ephesians 4 now. I think I didn't read all of the other verse, but that's okay. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 24. Here's Paul is speaking of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. In this sense, the word ministry just means what it really means is service. Equipping the saints. The word saints means hallowed ones or holy people. And equipping the holy people, which that's what we represent if we are sincere, if we have yielded our lives to God, and that we are living a holy life. We need to be equipped, he said, for the work of service, of ministry or service. For the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or person, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Think about that in light of this wonderful 8-day period. It is a gathering, and it's the only time in a year, that huge bodies of God's people gather together as His children. It gives us a chance to get acquainted with one another. It gives us a chance to look at our calling, our purpose, our function, our interactions, our work, what we're supposed to do. It gives us an opportunity to evaluate how are we doing as God's kids? How are we doing as God's kids? It goes on down in verse 14 and says that we should no longer be children. We're to grow up in the fullness of Christ, that we no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things. And it's talking about the character of Christ. It's talking about comparing us with our older brother, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and going to be our King. That we grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, and we're joints in that body, he says, according to the effective working by which every part, and that's you, your part, and you're a part of it, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying or building up of itself in love. Now we could look at the Feast of Tabernacles and talk about it's a time to come together and have fun, to listen to good sermons and so on that tell us the future. But if it's not founded on the very basis of what our life is all about, we can miss the point. We could have a lot of fun. We could have a lot of friends. We can do a lot of things. But if it's not founded on accomplishing the character development that Jesus Christ taught, that God the Father wants to build in us, we won't accomplish nearly as much as God would like for us to accomplish. So it's the spirit in which we go forward in this feast that's going to make the difference. He says in verse 17, this is Paul in Ephesians 4, verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." We have a goal. We have a purpose. There's a reason why God has called us. We have responsibility. We're not to just think about ourselves like the world does. And he goes on, "The rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened." Sometimes some of them read the Bible and so on, and we know that a lot of them pray, and that's wonderful. But they have darkened understanding, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. What we hear is to be treasured. It is something that's so valuable, and it's like a pearl of great price. And the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, not all of them and our neighbors and friends and world and everything are like that, but that's very common, and we see it a growing trend in the world around us. Verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ." You have a different purpose, perspective, a different goal. That is, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man. And it has to do with spirit and mind, attitude, the way you think, and the way your mind controls your actions and beliefs. And you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We're here to renew this. And we're going to cover all kinds of aspects of how we're to carry this very attitude into the millennium. Not by our own direction, but under the direct supervision of our King, Jesus Christ. And this is going to be the focus of the millennium. It's going to be the focus of the kingdom of God. Changing hearts, changing minds, changing the way we think. So if we ask the question, why are we here? We're here to learn to be teachers by first being good students. We're here to be mature by first being children. We're here so that we can learn and then we can preach and teach the truth to the whole world. So he goes on, he says, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. At no time in the year, as I mentioned earlier, can we have the kind of audience and the opportunity to be taught like we have here at the Feast of Tabernacles. We, each one of us, including those of us who are speakers, will also be pupils. We'll be sitting in front of teachers telling us a lot of the truth of God. Much of it is a review, but review is very important. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. At no time of the year, you know, can we focus on building that new person like now? And that's what I want to focus on here. He says in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Not just as someone who is wise and already knows everything, but approaching it like little kids and just looking and listening and seeing what you can learn. He goes on, he says, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So that introduces another element in the responsibility we have. Not only are we to learn personally, but we are to find something that we really like in our brethren. It's a time to get acquainted with people we don't know. It's a time to find out something about each other. And you begin to look at the good things, the potential that each one of us has so that we can appreciate the body of Christ. We can appreciate the church that he's built. And we can look at it and look at one another and see in ourselves and in what God is doing among us as a body, the work of God. That's why we're here. And it's a very, very important time. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 38, it tells of a man, verses 38 through 40 of Luke 9, tells of a man that came out of a multitude and he says, teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is only a child. And behold, a spirit seizes him and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. Someday, there are going to be people that will come to us somewhere and say, can you help my child? Can you heal my wounds. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the majesty of God. But while everyone marveled at all the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men." He came to do those things, and yet he wasn't accepted. He had persecution. The scriptures tell us clearly that ahead of us is the worst time in the history of the world, when you and I may be living into a tribulation or a time of trouble like has never been before. Festivals like this give us a chance to bond with one another, to come together to see the future, to see beyond the hard times that are coming, just like Jesus was talking to them. He was dealing with what he could do, looking forward to the future. But he said, "I'll tell you, what's going to come in the meantime is not going to be easy." But they did not understand this saying, and it was hidden from them, so that they did not perceive it. And they were afraid and asked him about the saying. Then a dispute arose among them, and notice this very carefully. Here are the disciples. They're being trained personally by Jesus Christ. And what was the dispute about? Which of them would be the greatest? We have to be really careful as we grow and develop that we maintain this approach, that we're children being taught. We're children in preparation to join a family, and we yet do not have the maturity that God will give us if we really succeed and stick with the training program. And Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him and said to them, "Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among all you will be great." You want to be in the kingdom of God? You're here for that purpose. But one of the things that's so crucial is the humility that we bear in the way we approach it. Christ could see through the temptations that approach us, that reach us, and that humility is not always comprehended. Even by those disciples, it wasn't comprehended. Notice in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 26. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him, that is to Jesus, with her sons kneeling down and asking something of him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." All personal. All about me. All about the glory for self. But Jesus answered and said, he wasn't mean to her. He said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Are you able to go through the things that I've had to go through? Are you able to look at the future and see the hard times that are coming and stay faithful and stay loyal all the way through?" Then he said to them, they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, You will indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it is prepared by my Father. David will be one of those. Abraham particularly. Some people have already been prepared for that office, and others we may not know. We have to be willing to go into the kingdom of God, even into the future, as little children. When God tells us, here's your assignment, we are willing to go and do that assignment. We get along a lot better when we're like little children. We serve better when we're little children. And we grow better when we're little children in our own minds. And when the ten had heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. And Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Those who are the great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him become your servant. Little children, that's what we are. Called to serve. Called to be the servants of God. If we keep ourselves in perspective during this feast, and we see that we are God's family, and every one of us, and we regard every one of us as a brother or a sister in Christ, where we grow together and we see it as a community type of thing that we're going to be doing in the world tomorrow, we'll grow. You'll grow. This feast, you'll take with you a great deal of that's of value to you. And that's what we want you to do. Only if we allow God to transform our minds and hearts so that we genuinely desire to be his servants rather than glorying in the authority or glorying in how much we know or glorying in our positions or even in the future that we're going to have, but in the service that God wants us to do. Only then will we be ready to fulfill the purpose that God has in making us kings and priests, or giving us that great opportunity in the kingdom of God. And so as we look at all those things and look at it in this perspective that God tells us to have, we're to come here and rejoice. We're to rejoice in the fact that God has made us his kids and he is our Father. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23 now. Got this and one more scripture I want to read to you. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you've gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. And on the first day, there shall be a Sabbath rest. And on the eighth day, a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of bountiful trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice. This is to be one happy time. Looking forward to rejoicing together, looking around you at brothers and sisters, that if we succeed, we will spend eternity with each other. That is a wonderful picture. He goes on, he says, in verse 41, you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. For 7 days in the year, it shall be a statute forever in your generations. I'm going to repeat this every single year. And you're going to take 8 days out of your life to get refocused and regenerated and be focused on the kingdom of God. A kingdom of children who are going to be servants to mankind. And we have that opportunity. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. You'll leave the home and the background that you came from, the work that you're doing. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths. And this, of course, was given to ancient Israel. That your generations may know that I have made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Let's go to one more scripture. I'd like to bring to sort of a conclusion here with this one in Deuteronomy 12. This festival is a time to enjoy blessings that God gives to those who serve him. And he calls us servants. But God is the greatest servant of all. And he is the most giving, caring person in the universe. Our Father in heaven. No one can excel him in love or in giving. And so as we leave this festival tonight, leave this meeting tonight of the festival, first or the beginning night of the Feast of Tabernacles, let's go away thinking about who we are, why we're here, and really, really rejoicing that we are learning from the most gracious, kind, and giving person that exists in the whole universe. And he calls us his kids. We're his kids. He goes on in verse 5. But you shall seek a place where the Lord your God chooses out of all of your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place. And there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes. Well, the burnt offerings and sacrifices were temporary, but the tithes were not. And so we've got our tithes. Instead of burnt offerings, we'll go to some nice restaurants. We'll get together with fellowship. And we'll have some wonderful time to each other. But let's get acquainted. And let's really, really appreciate the fact that we, as God's family, have this opportunity to get together. Don't just do your own thing for yourself. See how you can make each other's feast better and more wonderful. He says in verse 7, and there you shall eat before the Lord your God and shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your household, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. Go your way, brethren, tonight and think about the blessings that you've had. Don't count them just in physical things. Count your calling. Look at the future. Look at the fact that God has given you a different spirit if you're converted. That he's helped you and made you a part of a vision that he has. And that vision goes on forever and ever and ever without end. And as we go through this Feast of Tabernacles, keep that vision in the forefront of your mind. And you understand that as fellow servants of our great God, we need to be about our Father's business. With joy, with appreciation for our calling and blessings. So let us be a blessing. I mentioned in the beginning about the movie, Pass It Forward. Count your blessings. And don't count it just in money or meals or fun, but just being a part of the family of God too. Count your blessings and learn here at the feast how to better pass it forward. Be the servants of Jesus Christ. We want to say good night to all of you. May you have a wonderful feast. Take care of yourself and your health. And yet be here as much as possible. even if you have a hard time, and even if your health isn't perfect, do your best to be here. And let's rejoice before our God and before Jesus Christ, our Savior.